So today we are continuing reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, entitled The Status Quo, Chapter Number 12, entitled Creation of the Kumaras and Others, Text Number 35. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. The four kinds of paraphernalia for conducting the fire sacrifice became manifest. The performer, the chanter, the offerer, the fire, and the action performed in terms of the supplementary Vedas. Also the four principles of religiosity, truth, austerity, mercy, and cleanliness, and the duties in the four social orders all became manifest. Purport. Eating, sleeping, defending and mating are the four principles of material body, of material bodily demands, which are common to both the animals and human society. To distinguish human society from the animals, there is the performance of religious activities in terms of the social statuses and orders of life. They are all clearly mentioned in the Vedic literatures and were manifested by Brahma when the four Vedas were generated from his four mouths. Thus, the duties of humankind in terms of the statuses and social orders were established to be observed by the civilized man. Those who traditionally follow these principles are called Aryans or progressive human beings. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunvilitam yena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovisham Sapitam yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sakarna Raghunathanditam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosuthe Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Vrishabhanam Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyalevacha Patitanam Pavane Vilo Vaishnavi Vilo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in today's verse, Prabhupada has mentioned that humans are different to animals, and there are similarities as well. The difference is religiosity. Animals don't follow religiosity. We don't say this is a Christian dog, Muslim cat. No. So religiosity is a conscious choice made by human beings. And if they don't make that choice, then there is no difference between human beings and animals. Now, in today's verse, there is so many things described which were manifested by Brahma, because this is the time of creation which is going on in Bhagavatam at the moment. So various things were created. The paraphernalia, which is important for fire sacrifice, the four principles of religiosity, and then the four social orders. So all these were created. So many of these things which are discussed are actually material, but they have a role to play, because this material system of really so-called, you can say, religiosity, varnashram, these are all material systems, but the significance is they are Krishna's system for spiritual upliftment. So that is very important. So a person who follows this material system to elevate himself, he is called Aryan. Or here Prabhupada says, Aryan means progressive human being. So what is the progression? We should progress forward. So the lowest form, you can consider a microbe or an aquatic, then you go to plants, and then further, you go reptiles, birds, animals, and then you come to human beings. And in human beings also, there are two types, the civilized and uncivilized. So uncivilized, like you can say, the tribals, or people who are not following anything religious, you can say, they are called uncivilized. Actually, many tribals, they have a lot of faith in higher powers. They are better than so-called atheistic scientists. So, atheistic scientists think they are primitive. You know, they don't wear clothes, they don't have mobile phones. But actually, they are more advanced. They sometimes worship something higher. They worship sky or a big mountain. So they are actually a little higher. So according to Vedas and Bhagavatam especially, the uncivilized human beings are those who are not following any method of worship, who don't have any conception of something superior, superior power or a supreme being. They are actually uncivilized. So they can be called so-called human beings, but they are just two-legged animals, dvipada pashu. So it's very important to follow something higher. In Bhagavad Gita we see in second chapter, when Krishna starts speaking to Arjuna, first he, in a joking way, he actually chastised Arjuna. He called him an-Arya, one who is not Aryan. He said that you are speaking all these words, but actually you are just acting like speaking like an uncivilized person who doesn't know the principles of religion. Kutastva kashmalam idam vishame samupastitam anaryam jushtam aswargyam akirtikaram Arjuna. So he was wondering that actually your family lineage is very high. He called him Partha, means son of Pritha or Kunti Devi. So that family lineage is very high, because Kunti Devi was sister of Vasudev. She was daughter of Shurasena, and later she was, I think she grew up under care of Kunti Bhoj. That's how Pritha's name became Kunti. So this is all very high family lineage on the mother's side of Arjuna. So that's why Krishna was referring to Arjuna as Partha, or son of Pritha. Then on the father's side also, he had very high lineage. He called him as Bharata, or son of, or descendant of Bharata. His father was Pandu, and who came in the lineage of Bharat dynasty. So Krishna was referring to him by these names, and he was saying that actually you should be very intelligent, because your family lineage from your father's side and mother's side, both are very exalted. So why are you speaking words which are not according to religious principles? You are saying, I don't want to kill my grandfather, my relatives, This is bodily attachment. And this doesn't befit a man who knows the religious principles. So he referred to him as Anarya. And he said, Kutastva Kashmalam Idam. That Kashmala means these impurities. How have these impurities come upon you? So a person who speaks like this, oh, I am this body, and whoever is related to this body is mine, and we'll live happily ever after. So that's called Kashmala, or the impurity. We see most of the movies, you see, Hollywood or Bollywood, whichever, and they lived happily ever after. Right? So this is all a mixed misconception. That we'll be in our abode, in our house, with our expansions, with our family members, and we'll live happily ever after. So this is called impurity. So that's why when we come to Krishna consciousness, that impurity is cleansed. And that's a little painful in the beginning. I don't know. So shouldn't I love my near and dear ones? No, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't love our family members. What it means is, we should see their spiritual identity. Kunti Maharani actually says in her prayers, in 8th chapter of 1st canto, she says that please sever my ties from Vrishnis and these relatives that I have. Please sever these ties. What she means is that please sever my material attachment to my relatives. Please let me understand that I am your servant and that all my relatives are your servant ultimately. So that's called real understanding. So as soon as we reach that platform, we'll be peaceful. Otherwise, we'll be very disturbed always. Because if you see, especially if you are in a household order, you have to deal with relatives and family members to a greater degree. And what does that mean? That means you see their problems. Because material world is dukhalayam ashashvatam. So they are getting old, they are getting diseased. And more family members are there, so you multiply it so many times. Right? Oh my, this relative is in hospital. Actually, one of the other relative is always in the hospital, if you see. If you can study, or each one of us, one or the other will be in hospital, or getting ready to go there. It's always like that. Especially if you see Indian families, joint families, so many expansions. So, if you are in a grihastha ashram, you have to deal with it very nice way. But if you are in other renounced orders, a brahmachari or a sannyasi, then there are less responsibilities. You don't have to attend all the weddings, you don't have to attend all the funerals. The immediate ones, of course, you do. But if you are in household order, you have those obligations, you have to do that. Otherwise, it's not a very good impression of a devotee. They say that, oh, you have become devotee, so you are neglecting all family relations. So you have to do it in a minimal way, you know. Like you go to some place and it's like like students sometime attend school just to put your attendance there. And then you do all sorts of things, right? So that's how a devotee attends to his material duties like that. He just puts his attendance and then he's off. Whatever little bit, oh, how are you, just externally. But if someone is favorable amongst family members, then you can encourage them more and associate with them more and give them Krishna consciousness. So, this is the system. And these are, externally we can see, if you are only attached based on bodily level, so that's kashmalam, that's impurity. And Krishna chastised Arjuna for having these impurities, for the time being. Actually, Arjuna was very realized, but for the time being, he was covered. So that Bhagavad Gita would be spoken to him. So let's further discuss about this social orders as described here, because this is being created by Brahma. And we'll next, after that, we'll come to all these sacrifices and its paraphernalia. So, here it is said, the duties in the four social orders became manifest. So this Varnashram system is, as we discussed, it's material system, but it's for spiritual advancement. So each ashram has its own duties, and we should follow them very nicely. And if there is a cooperation between these various ashramas and varnas, then there is very nice atmosphere in the whole society. At the moment, we know in Kali Yuga, it's the varnashram system is not working. So in this society, which is called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we are trying to follow this varnashram system as best as possible. So varnas are a little tricky, but we are trying to follow ashrama system as nicely as possible. And more we follow it closely under guidance, then we'll be happily situated. It is said for a sannyasi, actually he doesn't know what next day will bring. That's the nature of sannyas ashram. If one is not ready, he shouldn't artificially take sannyas. Otherwise, it's very difficult. You know, constant traveling, preaching. If someone artificially, just for the name's sake, becomes a sannyasi, then he finds a very tough time. But one who is really advanced, he just depends on Krishna. He may travel just to help other people. For a sannyasi, whole world is his family. And he's para dukkha dukhi, because he's, if there is a Vaishnava sannyasi, he understands that all are his family members and they are suffering, so that he suffers along with them. So that's why he works very hard to help them. Now for the householders, they should not live on that platform, that we don't know what next day will bring. Actually, no one knows what next day will bring, which is true. Whether you, in any ashram, you don't know. We may leave this body any day, even today, next moment, we don't know. But, materially speaking, Grahastha ashram is more stable. In the sense, there's savings, you have a house, you know. So you know pretty much what next day will bring. You have a job or a business. So some things are set. So one should work towards that. So some neophyte grahasthas, they may do extra service or this or that and neglect the household duties. So that's not very good. Because if you are not materially situated in a comfortable way, you cannot perform spiritual activities properly. And you cannot help even your family members, what to speak of others. So your family members will start disliking you, that you are neglecting your duties. So there has to be a right balance. On the other extreme, we shouldn't become so much comfortable, because if someone is at home, there is a tendency of becoming very comfortable, because it's your home. It runs according to your rules, right? So you may make new and new rules according to your standards. So that's why we should take association. A grahastha should endeavor. Everyone should endeavor, but speaking about grahastha ashram, one should make greater endeavor to associate with devotees who are enthusiastic about serving Prabhupada's mission. So that's the varnashram system. Although it's material system, but it can be used to progress spiritually. Actually, some sannyasis who belong to other, not Vaishnava sannyasis, they may try to reject anything which is material. But a Vaishnava actually knows how to engage material things in Krishna's service. So Rupa Goswami has given us the principle of Yukta Vairagya. अनासक्तस्य विषयान यथार्हम उपयुञ्जतः निर्बंध कृष्ण संबंधे युक्तम वैराग्यम उच्यते. So he says, if you see everything related to Krishna and use it for Krishna's service, then it's spiritual. It's called Yukta Vairagya, and you are actually detached. So everyone, doesn't matter which ashram or which varna you are in, we should be detached and we should engage whatever is in our position, whatever items, whatever skills we have, we should engage all those things in Krishna's service. And that is called Yukta Vairagya. So there was a big Swami, we know this famous example. He was known for rejecting material things. And he had a famous picture of him sitting, and next to him there was, I think, big pile of gold slabs, gold biscuits or something. And he was saying, no. And that became very popular. See, so advanced, it's in India. He's so advanced, he's rejecting wealth, which is Maya. So one of Prabhupada's disciples, he showed that to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, they should take our picture. We'll say, yeah, give it to us, like that. We can, because we know how to engage it for Krishna's service. Anything material is actually bad, but if you know how to engage it in Krishna's service, then it is good. So a devotee doesn't go out of the way to create material facilities. But if some karmi has worked hard to create something, then devotee uses it for Krishna's service. Like this microphone, it's a very amazing invention. So someone has put so much time and effort to create it. So devotees don't have to do that. We just use it for Krishna's service. So it's called ajagar vritti. So a rat, he works very hard to make a hole and he lives there. So what a snake does, he just comes in that hole, he eats the rat and he lives in that hole. So he had his food as well and he had his home as well now. But the rat worked hard to do, you know, make the hole. So that's how devotees work, as ajagar vritti. You know, public shouldn't hear all these things. It's only for devotees. That's why we discuss in the morning. Evening classes, many new people come. So that is called ajagar vritti. And Prabhupada was expert in this yukta vairagya, you can say, in more sophisticated terms. So Prabhupada was very expert. So one, he used to travel all around the world. One chapter in Leelamrita is called Jet Age Parivrajakacharya. So he's Jet Age. In 11 years he traveled around the world 14 times, I think. So much travel he's doing. So one time one reporter asked Prabhupada very enviously. They didn't recognize Prabhupada's contribution to this world. So they became very envious. So they said, oh Swami, you know, you are posing as very spiritual. So you have so many followers and this and that. But we just see you came out of an aeroplane and you're riding in these big cars. So what's the difference between you and us? You're just like us. So what Prabhupada said was, you have worked so hard to create these planes. It is my mercy that I am traveling in them. So when Prabhupada will say these things, then they were just spellbound, they can't say anything. So Prabhupada knew how to just devastate them. So that's a devotee. Devotee acts on a spiritual platform, but he uses material things, material systems. And he follows the principles of religion. In Bhagavad Gita, last chapter, which is called Conclusion, the Perfection of Renunciation. So there it says, Yagya Dan Tapah Karma Na Tyajyam Iti Chapare Yagyo Danam Tapaschaiva Pavnani Manishina. So these acts of Yagya, Tapa, the austerity, Yagya means sacrifice, and Dana means charity, these shouldn't be given up. Even great personalities are purified if they follow these things. So in today's verse we see that what's being created, this paraphernalia for conducting fire sacrifice. What is that? The performer, who is the chanter, the offerer, the fire, the action performed in terms of supplementary Vedas. So these are various technicalities of a yajna or a fire sacrifice. So in current day, we know that we don't have proper brahmanas who can light fire with mantras. So we perform as less as possible, as much as required. We have yajnas for initiation and other samskaras. So we do as minimum as possible. But actual fire sacrifice is not possible in this age. So the main sankirtan or main yajna that we follow is sankirtan yajna. So that is very important. So we have to understand how to follow sankirtan yajna. So if we take part in Mahaprabhu's sankirtan yajna, then we'll be purified. So yajna dan tapa karma na tyajyamiti chapare. So that's the yajna we shouldn't neglect, sankirtan yajna. It is said in Bhagavatam that one who is intelligent, he follows sankirtan yajna in Kali Yuga. Sumedasa, one who has great intelligence. So we should not neglect sankirtan yajna. We should give great attention to our sadhana, which is chanting, reading, hearing Bhagavatam. And as much as possible, we should give it to others by Harinam Sankirtan, book distribution, and prasad distribution. We'll have Naveen Neerad Prabhu is arriving today, and he'll be giving different classes and seminars on book distribution, so everyone can attend and benefit. He has been distributing for many, many years. He's one of the top book distributors. Very amazing. So these devotees are teaching us how to perform Sankirtan Yajna. So yajna dan tapah karma. So dan, how to give the real charity. So that's also very tricky. So in 17th chapter, it's described the charity in mode of goodness, in mode of passion, in mode of ignorance. If you give charity to a person who is not suitable, who doesn't deserve it, then it's charity in mode of ignorance. If you give charity for expanding Sankirtan Yajna, that is actually not even in goodness, it's in pure goodness. So we all have some wealth, some time, some skills. All these are precious items. So we should dedicate it very intelligently. And then we'll get a benefit accordingly. If someone gives money to a person, there's so many buskers in the city, you give them charity and he uses it for drinking, then you are also implicated in that karma, partially. So it's not being very intelligent. And many these beggars on the street, they are just actors. They just sit as if, you know, they are suffering, and many are doing overacting actually. It's very clear, you can see. Very clearly you can see that they're not actually, they're just putting up a show. And people, you know, there are cheaters and there are cheated. So people are just foolish, they just give them money. But to the book distributor, they won't give even one coin. So that's, you know, very great misfortune. So we have to be intelligent in terms of dana or charity. So yajna dana tapaha. What is tapaha? Austerity. So we should perform austerity very nicely. Austerity for devotees is to wake up early, chant your rounds, follow four regulative principles. These simple things. We shouldn't take up extra austerities. Austerities in Kali Yuga are enough already. We shouldn't manufacture extra austerities for name and fame. Sometimes devotees take up these big austerities for name and fame. So that's not good. Austerities are for purification. Bhavanani Manishinam. These austerities actually purify even great souls. What to speak of a normal person. So these we have to follow very nicely. And then what's mentioned here is what else was being manufactured or manifested is the four principles of religiosity: truth, austerity, mercy and cleanliness. So religion has four pillars. These are the four pillars on which religion stands. We have description of dharma in first canto. Dharma was in the form of a bull. He has four legs. So these are the four legs, you can say: truth, austerity, mercy and cleanliness. So we have to follow these things very closely as far as possible under very good guidance. Then there is some possibility of purification. So as we go forward in our life, we have to see that if we are progressing or not. So here it says, Aryan means, I'm repeating, progressive human being. Are we progressing or are we stagnant or are we going down? That we have to evaluate personally. Every year we should look back to our past year, that how was my last year in my devotional life? Have I made some advancement or I'm just the same, or I'm gone down in my sadhana, in my association, in my service? So we have to analyze every year. You can choose a day, your initiation day or your first of New Year's day or your birthday. Any day, you choose one day to make a good introspection and good analysis. And that is called use of intelligence. If we are not using our intelligence properly to analyze our devotional life, then it's just animal life. Animals live like that, whatever comes, right? A dog is walking past, you know, whatever comes, he sniffs. If it's favorable, he takes. If it's not, he rejects, like that. So that's animal life. So many people actually boast that I live like this. I take each day as it is, you know, as it comes, without any plan. So that's not very intelligent. Subconsciously, everyone knows that we have to make plans. If someone is renting a house, if he's on like a 6-month lease, right? So he knows that in October end, my lease is finishing. So when will he start to look for another apartment? He'll start 1 or 2 months before, right? You're looking for an apartment, I think. So like that. It's not that on 1st November you start looking for a new apartment. Now my lease was finished yesterday, so now I'm on the street with my family and baggage. Now I'll look for a new house. No, that's, no one does it. Even a gross materialist doesn't do it. But when it comes to our life, we live like that. Our spiritual life. People are totally neglecting their spiritual life. When death comes, you know, that's it, that's the end. No, according to the Vedic philosophy, there is reincarnation. There were past lives, there will be next life. So we have to plan accordingly. And that's called intelligence. If we don't use intelligence, then it's just very low type of existence. So, we are seeing this creation, wonderful creation by Brahma. And ultimately we know that creation, maintenance and destruction are the activities of Supreme Lord Krishna himself. He is the source of everything. He was there before anything material was created. He remains during the creation and maintenance. And he will remain after everything is annihilated. So such is the position of Krishna. Aham evasam evagre, nanyad yat sadasat param. He was there before, he is there during the maintenance, he will be there after the annihilation. So that's his transcendental position. So we have to surrender to Krishna, we have to surrender to his lotus feet. And this surrender means we are taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. If you see Krishna's feet has got many different marks on the soles of his feet. And each mark has different meaning to it. For example, one mark is elephant goad, the rod with which you control the elephant. So it signifies that our mind is just like an elephant, right? Sometimes some of you may have felt that. Their mind goes everywhere, especially during chanting. When you start chanting, you can't control mind. It goes everywhere. You can sit that side, that's the main seat. So, but if you take shelter of Krishna's feet, then this mind will be controlled. Because Krishna's feet are like elephant goat. They can control big elephants. So we have to take shelter of Krishna. So that's the process of Bhakti Yoga. When we take shelter of Krishna, slowly and gradually, progressively, then we can see how we are being purified and how we are progressing. So I'd like to end there and see if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yes, Mark.
Thank you for the nice. In this verse, Veda, supplementary Veda, can you tell us
supplementary Vedas. In the first canto, when you see, I think, fourth chapter, where it's described that originally there was only one Veda. But Vyasadeva knew that in future, in Kali Yuga especially, people will be less intelligent. They won't be able to understand. If you have just one big book without any sections or classification, it's very difficult to read. Only a very intelligent person can read like that. So he knew that population of Kali Yuga will be less intelligent. So he divided the Vedas into four Vedas. And then he wrote supplementary literature, Itihas, Purana and all that. So that's known as fifth Veda, or you can say Upaveda. So scriptures like Mahabharata, they're called Itihas. They were written for less intelligent class of people. So they are supplementary Vedas in one sense, because the purpose of those literature is also to know Krishna. Vedaischa sarvai aham eva vedyo. So the purpose of Vedas is to know Krishna. So these supplementary Vedas also help people to know Krishna in an easier way, because Vedas are very difficult to read. If you read the different sutras, and they are very indirect. It requires a lot of high intelligence. So that's why these scriptures like the Itihasas, Puranas, they help you by giving different stories, coming from different angles. So that's why they are very important. Any other question or comment? If there is no more questions or comments, we'll finish here. Thank you very much. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande.
It's like a commentary of Vedanta Sutra. Yeah.